The Sefer names through Parsha Frameshir. For Parshas Hazinu, we'll be looking at the Sefer Imrei Fi by Rav Yitzchak Prajnitz. So the first pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph, says Hazinu Shemayim Badabera V'Sishma Haaretz Imrei Fi, that the heavens give them and I will speak, I mean the earth hear the Imrei Fi, the words of my mouth. This is a very familiar phrase, as we say at the end of Shemona Esrei, Yulirotzon Imrei Fi, that we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu that the words of our mouth should be appealing. So Rav Yitzchak Prajnitz, the Sefer Imrei Fi, contains all of his drashos that he delivered in shuls where he was the Rav. He was the Av Beis Din in Prajnitz in Poland. Prior to that, he was an Av Beis Din in Galona. He writes that this is only Chelek Aleph. He'll Amir Shashem publish more of his drashos, but we don't have any more. We only have this Sefer Imrei Fi, which contains 37 of his drashos. He writes in the Hagdama of Prajnitz that you may notice when you're reading through his Sefer Imrei Fi that some of the drashos are not exactly pashup shot in the psukim, in the Maimre Chazal. Perhaps he used a little bit of a drasha license to expound, but don't worry, as Chazal tell us that when one is trying to awaken the hearts of the listeners, it's permitted. He gives two proofs to the fact that when one is delivering a drasha, it's permitted to bend the simple explanation of the words of Chazal or of the Torah. So the first proof he has is from the Gemara in Yoma and Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, which says that there was an incident where two Kohanim were each trying to get up the ramp of the Mizbeach first to bring a karbon. One took out a knife and stabbed the other in his heart, and he died. So Rav Tzadok, so one of the Rabbanim he was around at that moment, he saw what happened. He got up on the steps of the Ulam and he proclaimed to all the Jews listening. He said, listen, brothers of Israel, we know that there's a din of Egla Arufa. Egla Arufa is the din that when we find a dead body between two cities, we don't know who the killer is. So you measure to the nearest city and they have to slaughter a cow as an Egla Arufa. So, says Rav Tzadok, who should bring it here? Who's going to bring the Egla Rufa in this case with this dead Kohen? Should it be the city of Yerushalayim or should it be the Azara? And everyone started crying. So the Gemara asks, what kind of question was this? Doesn't the Gemara say, the Yerushalmi says, that one of the 10 qualities of Yerushalayim is that there's no Egla Rufa brought? And furthermore, isn't the entire sugi of Egla Rufa premise on the fact that we don't know who the murderer is? Here, we saw one Kohen stab the other. We know who the murderer was. So the Gemara answers, Rav Tzadok was just given this example of Egla Rufa to elicit tears. Meaning, clearly, the case of Egla Rufa wouldn't apply here, but he was trying to elicit the emotions of those who were around, so he took a license in order to elicit those emotions. So says Rav Yitzchak Prajnitz, the same thing we can say when we are trying to elicit tears, just like the Gemara. The secular world, says Rav Prajnitz, has stabbed our hearts spiritually, and we need people to become emotionally charged, to cry in pain, to bring an Egla Rufa on the city in the Azaros. So in order to elicit, to jog a person's emotions, we're permitted to say something, even if it's not exactly true within the words of Chazal, if it will bring people to a certain emotional state. His second proof is that we find this in the Gemara in Shabbos on the Avlamin Amabez. So the Gemara on Amud Aleph had asked if it's permitted to extinguish a candle on Shabbos in order to enable a chole to fall asleep if the chole is in a room where the candle's there. So the Gemara answers in the Avlamin Amabez that a candle is called a ner and a neshama of a Jew is called a ner. As we say, ner Hashem nishmas Adam. So better to extinguish the physical ner, a candle, in order to preserve the ner of the neshama. So Rashi over there says, that's not the reason you're allowed to extinguish a candle for a chola. Presumably we're talking about a chola sheish bo sakana, that for some reason he needs to sleep for his health, and if he doesn't, it's going to be dangerous. So says Rashi, the source that you can do any malach on Shabbos to save someone from danger is the chai bohem. When it comes to the pikuach nefesh, we see the chai bohem. Everything is overridden by the fact that one must live. So says Rashi, Why did the Gemara quote this drasha of that the nair of the neshama should be able to outlast the nair of a candle? So says Rashi, the pshat is, the Gemara was simply saying, divrei agada. Why? To be moshech the lev, to draw people's heart. Why? Because this was said as a drasha, which included in attendance women, men, ami ha'aretz, darshanim, those giving the public speeches. It's true, the basic halacha was v'chai bahem pikuach nefesh, it's fine. But that wasn't going to draw people in, that wasn't going to pull at their emotions. And the darshan needed to do that, and therefore he gave this other interpretation of the nair of the neshama outlasting a nair of a candle. It says Rav Prajna, it's the same would apply to us. We say, many achronim say, ein mashivin al hadrush. Just like the Gemara says, ein mashivin al hekish. That you can't ask a kasha on a hekish. You can't ask a kasha on a drasha. Rabbi gets up to speak as a drasha. Oh, but that wasn't pasha pshah. That's not what the Gemara means. We see from these proofs, says Rav Prajna, a drush doesn't have to be pasha pshat. A drush doesn't have to align perfectly with the correct or true pshat in the Gemara or the Chumash. As long as the drush is being done to elicit the emotions, it's permitted to stray somewhat from the truth. Now, Rav Prajna is called his sefer Imre Fi, not only because the word Fi hints to his name and his family name, but also because the words of his mouth is what he used to address his kehilos as a shul rav. Sometimes on Shabbos morning, sometimes at a eulogy, a funeral, a bar mitzvah, a wedding. He ends off as a prayer, Hashem Tzuri V'Gali, that this sefer, the words of his mouth, should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He signs it as written in Prajnitz, in Chodesh Sivan, in the year 1930, published in Pietrikov. So, I'll just quote one of his 37 drashos, which is drasha number 34, which is very interesting. He records the eulogy he gave for his mother Sheindel. So he notes by starting off by saying that the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya in Siman Shin Mem Dalid Sif Beis says that we eulogize men and women each as is appropriate to them, and we don't slack off. It doesn't matter who the person is, men, women. So he says he has a chiyuv to be maspid his mother properly. Now he notes that in that same Siman in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Samech Zayin, it says that a kala, which sounds like it refers to a newly married woman, so she's eulogized with her maisa aviha and her maisa bala. So you eulogize her by speaking about the qualities of her father and of her husband. So Esther of Prajnitz, what does that mean? We eulogize a kala with the maisa aviha and bala? Wouldn't it make more sense to eulogize her with her maisim? Why are we praising her about the milos of her husband or of her father? So he starts off by noting that the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin, when it's talking about how different individuals are zochet olam haba, it says we understand how men are zochet olam haba through Talmud Torah, but women who are putter from Talmud Torah, so how are they going to be zochet olam haba? So the Gemara answers, well, they bring their children to shul to learn, they allow their husbands to go out and learn and wait for them to return home. So many of the Achronim ask, women might technically be pater from Talmud Torah, to be mekayim it in the full sense, but besides for mitzvah seish yazman grama, which they're pater from, on Shulchan Aruch we paskin, and the Gra points out on Shulchan Aruch, that women actually are obligated to learn anything that applies to them, and therefore why don't they have this chus of Talmud Torah like men do? So Rav Yitzchak Prajnitz says, when he was younger, he thought of the following answer. We know that there's Ramach Ivarim and Ramach Mitzvos Aseh. There's 248 limbs in the person's body, and there's 248 positive commandments. Why? Because when a person does a mitzvah, he purifies a limb. And that's, says Rav Prajnitz, what the Mishnah in Makos means when it says, Rotza Kadosh Baruch Hu Lizakos Es Yisrael Lefikach Hirblem Torah Mitzvos. Hashem wanted to give merit to Klal Yisrael, therefore he gave them a lot of mitzvos. Says Rav Prajnitz, the word lezakos doesn't just cover the word zechiyah as a merit, It's from the Lashon of Shemen Zayis Zach. Zach means pure. So what the mission over there in Makos is really saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be able to purify our body, all 248 limbs. So what did he do? He gave us a lot of mitzvos. He gave us 248 positive commandments so that by the performance of each and every mitzvah, we can purify another limb, thereby purifying our entire body by performing all 248 mitzvos. Now, by men, we say that the Gemara in Sota, men really have arba brisos of Torah. They have four aspects of Torah they can fulfill. They can do lilmod, lilamed, lishmor, velasos. They have a mitzvah to learn, to teach, to guard, to do. So since learning and teaching are part of Talmud Torah for men, so you might ask, well, men can't do all 248 positive mitzvahs. Some of them are reserved for Kohanim. But the pshat is that since men also have the mitzvah of lilmud ulalamed, any mitzvah, I say, that a man learns, he's getting a chilek in that mitzvah. And so he can purify the limb of the body that corresponds to that mitzvah by simply learning it. But the question is, by women, they only have the mitzvah of lishmor velasos. But they don't have a mitzvah of lilmud ulalamed in a technical sense. So now, how are women going to purify all the limbs in their body when they can't, we don't have shaychus to all 248 mitzvos? So Rav Prashas explains that Chazal tell us on the pasuk of Smach Zvulun B'tzisacha, right, in the Yisachar Zvulun deal, so Zvulun is the one that goes out to work, but he's still happy. Why? Because he supports Yisachar learning. And we see from there, Chazal explained that when one assists someone else in learning Torah, he has a chilek, he has a portion in that Talmud Torah, and therefore that's the pshat. Even though women don't have a mitzvah of lilmod ulalamed, they can't do it. So technically they can't fulfill all 248 mitzvahs in any sense. But if they can assist a man in the man's limud, they can get a chelek in that limud, and that would be how they purify all of their limbs. Some mitzvahs they can do, the ones they can't do, if they assist a man doing that mitzvah, they can also fulfill it. So Rav Yitzchak says that could explain the Lashon of the Gemara in Kiddushin, which says, we say, Hare at mikudeshes. When a man's mekadesh a woman, he declares her mikudeshes. So much so, the Gemara says, Asura nakuli alma kehektish. She's also everyone else like hektish. What does it mean she's like hektish? The pshat is that before she's married, so she can do all the mitzvahs she can do. And after that, who she's supposed to help do their mitzvah? What man? But once she gets married, now she's hektish, meaning she could be makdish and mizakich. She can purify all of her limbs because now she can assist her husband in his learning and her children in their learning. And that's how she'll be able to purify all the limbs in her body. And that's what the Gemara meant in Brachos when it wanted to know, Nashim b'may zachyon. It didn't mean, how will women inherit Olam Haba? How will they merit? It means, how are women supposed to be like Shemen Zayis Zach? How are they supposed to purify all the limbs in their body when they can't do all 248? Now, going back to Rav Prash's opening question, he says, that explains the Shulchan Aruch that says that when a Kala passes away, we eulogize her by referring to the Maisa Avia and the Baila and Banao, positive attributes of her husband, her father, and maybe her children, meaning we talk about stories of how this Kala assisted, strengthened her husband in learning, her father, her children doing mitzvos, because if she did that, she has a chelek in all of that. And therefore, it makes sense to be maspid her with the accomplishments of her children, her husband, as those are really her accomplishments, mamish. So Rav Prajnan says, this applies to his mother, Sheindel, in terms of his learning and his father's learning. He says when he was only 11 years old, his mother sent him to learn in a faraway yeshiva because it was the best yeshiva, but she worried about him every night. She would cry herself to sleep, but she did it to put him in the best yeshiva. When it comes to his father, his mother took on an extra job just so that his father could sit and learn. So his mother was mekadesh with mezakeh, all of her limbs. His mother passed away at the young age of 49, and so she wasn't even able to fully enjoy her children, her husband, grandchildren, and yet, says Rav Prajnitz, the nechama that he and his family have is that through entire life, Noshim b'may zachyon, how is his mother Sheindel zoche, how is she able to purify all of her limbs? She did, she was tanua, she did all the mitzvahs she could, and anything she couldn't do or technically wasn't obligated in, she assisted, she gave chizik, she supported all the men in her life around her, and in that way she had a chilek in all the mitzvahs as well. That's a little bit about Rav Yitzchak Prajnitz and his sefer Imrei Fi.